In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Thursday, February 4th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Christian family-run bakery in Northern Ireland, which refused to bake a cake in support of homosexuality, was fined £500. And now they are appealing the case to a higher court to be heard today in Belfast. 500 people attended a rally on Monday night in Craigavon, supporting the Asher Bakery, according to Christian Today. Northern Ireland is one of the last holdouts in the entire Western world on homosexual marriage and abortion. Four Roman Catholic Church leaders were hospitalized after they were attacked by a mob outside of a police station in Tamil Nadu, India, according to UCA News. Open Doors Ministries says at least 9 Christians were killed for their faith in India last year. And the radical Islamic group Al-Shabaab is claiming responsibility for killing 4 Christians in Kenya last weekend. The victims were beheaded or shot to death in their homes. Jesus said this would happen in John 15, "If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me." President Barack Obama visited an Islamic mosque yesterday. He made an official stop at the Islamic Society of Baltimore. The president thanked the Muslim Americans for, quote, "keeping us safe," unquote. Last week, he spoke to a group of Jewish people, and today he will speak at the annual prayer breakfast. Planned Parenthood harvests baby body parts from aborted babies, and the organization gladly admits to it. They break God's law. But do they break man's law? That is the question that interests the media, the courts, and the grand juries. Now, Operation Rescue lawyers have uncovered Planned Parenthood invoices that indicate they may have broken the law in relation to trafficking baby body parts. The invoices in question divide out what they call consent payments from reimbursement for supplies. Attorney Briscoe Kane told The World View that they are pressing for another grand jury investigation of Planned Parenthood practices.
You know, we're hoping that the district attorney's office maybe didn't see this evidence. And in light of that, maybe they'll look at it again and recall another grand jury to see that based on the statement of the employee of Planned Parenthood, the one who's in the video, in conjunction with these invoices, that they were, in fact, profiting from the sale of baby parts.
A 72-year-old Georgia inmate was executed early yesterday for the 1979 crime of murder. Brandon Astor Jones was convicted of murdering a convenience store manager 36 years ago. Court delays began when a federal judge had demanded a new hearing after it surfaced that jurors had been allowed to have a Bible in the jury room. Genesis 9:6 says it all. "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image."
It's been an honor to participate in the 2016 Republican presidential primary. I'm proud of our principled campaign and the thousands of young people that have been energized by our message of limited constitutional government. Ours has been a unique voice in this race.
Senator Rand Paul announced that he's quitting the presidential race. The announcement came yesterday following the Iowa primaries, where Paul secured about 5% of the Republican vote. His libertarian and conservative supporters will likely move towards supporting Senator Ted Cruz, who could probably use another 5% in the race to the top against Donald Trump. Former Senator Rick Santorum, who has backed out of the race, has now endorsed Marco Rubio. A University of New Hampshire poll finds that among those Republicans who listen to radio talk shows, Ted Cruz received a net favorable rating of 74%. While Donald Trump received a 44% rating. Among those who do not listen to radio talk shows, Trump had a positive rating of only 6%, and Cruz received 12%. Marco Rubio did much better at 25%. And NBC comedy is taking its blasphemy to a new level. A recent episode of Superstore suggests that Jesus Christ was guilty of the sin of homosexuality. Back in the days when Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees accused him of being possessed by the devil. Matthew 12:24 says, But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons." A group of atheists got more than they bargained for in a little town in Kansas. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is dedicated to promoting the atheist religion, so they bullied the post office in Pittsburgh, Kansas, into removing a God Bless America banner. The townsfolk responded by placing 1,500 banners and yard signs in yards and businesses around town. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." 1 Kings 18:39. And that's The World View in 5 minutes on this Thursday, February 4th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we come back to the very basic message of this radio broadcast, and that is to bring a message of truth and relationships to a lost and lonely world. One of our goals is to bring back human relationships, whether it be relationships with our children or relationships with our parents. These are serious needs in our present day, and we hope that this program can be a huge encouragement to those who are integrating the generations again in the modern age. And we encourage homeschooling on this program. Obviously, it's not the only form of education that is used and that is effective for families, but it is a tremendous way to restore relationships and to live in relationship. And hopefully in relationships that are Christ-centered. Well, today we're going to talk about the next generation of connections, and that is to connect with our elderly parents in their retiring age. And today we're going to interview Marcia Washburn with her new book just produced by Generations with Vision called Home-Based Elder Care, available at our website, generations.org, a tremendous resource for anybody in your church or anybody in your family who is thinking about taking care of elderly parents, elderly grandparents in the context of the home. One of the crying needs of the day is to find a way to restructure relationships, cross-generational relationships in an age where institutions dominate and relationships are more and more distant, and the love of many tends to grow cold in a day like this. Well, how can we as Christians bring back relationships, a context in which love can operate, in which we can restructure relationships across the generations? And one way to do it is to take care of our elderly parents and grandparents in the context of our homes. Well, Marcia Washburn homeschooled her 5 sons for 19 years. She's been a tremendous resource for home educating parents for many years herself. But after graduating her youngest son, the Lord began bringing elderly relatives into their homes. Over the years, she and her husband have cared for 6 adults in their home, and she's still involved in this very important ministry. Marcia Washburn, welcome to the Generations broadcast. It's good to have you back on the air with us.
Thanks. It's always great to visit with you, Kevin.
And you've been busy with lots of things. You've been busy home educating and getting involved in the home education movement, but also you've been involved in caring for elderly folks in your home. Is there a crossover, Marcia, between home education and home-based elder care?
Oh, definitely. I think so, Kevin. You know, we like to say that the family is the basic unit of society that God has put into place, and family includes people of all generations. You know, you start out homeschooling, and you don't know what you're doing, and you're not sure if you can do it, and God comes through for you, and then you're sometimes thrust very suddenly into caring for the older generation, and you don't know if you can do it, and you don't know what you're doing, and God comes through for you then, too.
It's really a matter of faith, isn't it, Marcia? It's just stepping out in faith, and it might be easier at points to put your children or your ailing grandparents into an institution of some sort, but when you've got to bring them into your own home, it can be a real step of faith.
Yes, I can, and I call myself the unlikely caregiver. I was trained in music, not in any kind of medical or caring profession, and it was a big step of faith for us to follow God's direction to bring elders into our home.
Tell us a little bit about your experience, how it got started for you, Marcia. Did you plan on doing it, or did you just kind of fall into it?
Well, over the years, my husband and I had informally said if our parents ever needed a place to be, that they would be welcome with us. But, you know, saying that and then actually acting on it, it's kind of a gulp sort of a time when you say, oh, this is happening right now. Years ago, his aunt had a heart procedure that caused her to go blind temporarily, and she lived with us for 2 months. That was quite an adjustment. I'd never worked with anyone who was blind. We still had young children in the home. We were being homeschooled and figuring out how to handle that. And then my mother had some back surgery, and she needed a place to rehab and was only here a few days when she said, you know, I don't think I should be living alone anymore. And so she ended up spending her last 9 months on this earth in our home. So both of those were kind of unexpected, you know. Mm. And then our current situation, we've had my mother-in-law living with us for a little over 3 years. That one was, we had a little bit of planning time for that because she'd been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And so we were making the preparations in our home while my brother-in-law and his wife were handling things, visiting her regularly in her home.
Marcia, your new book, Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers, has this been a long time in the writing?
You know, I began writing last January in preparation for speaking at the first Christian Family Elder Care Conference, which was held in March in the Denver area. And I found very quickly that I had more information and more that I felt needed to be communicated than I could possibly say in one-hour workshop. And so I started jotting some things down, and it wasn't long until it turned into a book. And then in the summertime, Generations decided to pick it up and do a print book as well as the downloadable, and the rest is history.
Marcia, the decisions that people must go through to bring their parents into their home, what are the factors that come into play? What do you have to ask yourself? And what are the, I guess, gating factors that are most important as you make that decision?
Well, you know, the ultimate decision is God calling me to do this? And Old and New Testament scripture teaches us that we are to honor our parents, that, you know, the person who doesn't care for his own family is worse than the unbeliever. And so we have that underlying basis, but there are all the other factors that come into question two of, do we have space for this? Is this something physically we are able to do? Can we actually meet the needs of our elders? And often that is the case, really more often than one might think. There are situations where it simply is not possible to meet the needs of the parent in a conventional home setting. But many, many times it is quite possible. It's just saying, am I willing to put someone else's needs before my own? Am I willing to trust God that He will provide the necessary grace and finances and strength and all the other things to do what He's calling us to do? And I have found Him to be faithful in every situation. If He calls you to do it, He provides what you need in order to obey Him.
You know, it's probably going to require more time. I think that's obvious. You're probably going to spend less than you would in an institution. But a lot of people think in terms of finances. They think in terms of, if I've got to dedicate this much time to caring for an elderly mother or grandmother,
I may not be able to make a lot of money elsewhere. And so I think that a lot of times people put this in terms of finances. Do you think that's the only consideration, or do you think relationships need to play in more so?
Well, you know, certainly finances are something to consider, and often siblings of the caregiver or even the elderly person themselves has some finances to contribute to lost wages on the part of the person who may have to give up a well-loved career in order to come into the home and care for the person. I have read instances where it's possible for the caregiver to continue with a regular job and hire in-house care during working hours, or to switch to working from the home in order to care for a parent. But, you know, the relational ones is an important point, Kevin. I'm glad you brought it up. Sometimes there are relational issues that haven't been resolved between the generations. I was reading just a couple of nights ago about a woman who struggled with the concept of caring for her mother because she felt that her mother had not cared well for her. And she testified to how God had brought so much healing into that relationship as they learned to forgive each other as they were living together on a day-to-day basis.
Well, of course, this has been historically the means by which the generations have cared for each other until the more modern age where institutions have stepped in to do the job. I don't think that governments can support this in the future. So it seems to me it's important right now for organizations like ours to get behind the home-based elder care movement and encourage people to consider this as a possibility. But let's get back to your experience over the years, Marcia. Obviously, you were not trained to do this. You are not a professional. Your home is not the institution. However, you've learned some things. What have you learned?
Well, I've learned that, as I said before, God is faithful, and He does teach us to do things and give us creativity to figure things out as we go along. One of the reasons I wrote Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers, is because I wanted to share some of the things that He had taught me so others don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. One very quick illustration. When she first arrived, my mother-in-law, as I said, was suffering from early-stage Alzheimer's, and she did not want to be here. She wanted to stay in her own home. It wasn't safe for her. She had lost a significant amount of weight because she thought she was eating, and she wasn't eating anything at all and so forth. So there wasn't a choice about her moving. But she would often pack up to go home, and she would throw everything into the hamper in her closet. Some of the clothes had hangers on them, some didn't. She'd throw in wet washcloths. I mean, sometimes your photographs right next to the wet things, it was a mess. And then I would spend a significant amount of time hanging up everything and putting it all away again. And finally it occurred to me, if she didn't have anything to pack in, she couldn't pack up. So we moved the hamper out of her room, and that was the end of her packing. It was, you know, one of those things that you say, why didn't I think of that earlier? But you kind of learn as you go along, and God gives you creative ideas for dealing with whatever you might need to. I've learned over the years, too, Kevin, how to be content with having my freedom restricted. It reminds me of when we had very young children. And when your children are young, you can't just pick up and go on the spur of the moment. It's quite a project. And some places you want to go are not child-friendly. And so you restrict your freedom voluntarily for the sake of the children. In the same way as your parents did that for you when you were their child, now we restrict our freedom to just pick up and take off on a trip, or to run out to the store without thinking about it or whatever, in order to serve them wisely.
Is it all negative? Is it all a struggle and a trial, or do you see some light along the way?
Not all negative in any ways. In fact, I would say the positives far outweigh the negative. Yes, there are days when you think, what have I gotten myself into, and why did we ever do this? And then all of a sudden, some wonderful thing or some funny thing will come up, and it'll make you giggle and laugh and say, yes, I'm so glad that you are here with us. I remember one morning that my mother had, I woke her up, and she had been coughing through the night, and asked her if she had slept better. I said, did you sleep better? And she hadn't put in her hearing aids yet. And she looked kind of puzzled, and she said, did you say that I look like peanut butter? And, you know, just those funny little things that'll come along and make you smile. Every day there is something to smile about, whether it's with children or whether it's with elders.
Folks, the book is Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers by Marsha Washburn, who's had a lot of firsthand experience with this. Highly recommend the book to you, to your family, to your church members, anybody who has elderly parents or will have elderly parents should get a copy of this book, Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers. What do you think is the most important thing that our listeners can do right now to prepare themselves for this, or to involve themselves in this element of service?
You know, so many people are uneasy about having this discussion with their parents. It's awkward to say, Mom, Dad, what are your plans for the future? What are your wishes? What would you like to have happen if you become incapacitated in some way in the future? Get your legal paperwork in order. Do your will, of course, but don't forget the medical and durable power of attorneys, where you assign someone the right to make decisions for you if you are incapacitated. Ask yourself, if my mom, my dad were visiting me and they had a sudden medical emergency, would I be able to answer the questions in the ER about their health and the medications they're on that the doctor would be asking me? These are discussions that should be taking place sooner rather than later so that you are prepared. And maybe you can just say, my husband and I are putting together this information for our sake. We'd like to see you, Mom and Dad, you, brother and sister, doing the same thing so that we can help each other when the time comes. Because it's not really a matter of if. Unless the Lord comes back, all of us will be getting older, and most of us will require some sort of care sometime during our lives. So we do need to be ready for that. And secondly, you were talking about how churches and individuals can become involved in service. This is an area the Christian Family Elder Care is excited about producing resources for. We are wanting to put together a church training session or series that would help people understand what can they do. Not only nursing home service and ministry, which is very important, but also how can they support caregivers who are, you know, caring for people in the home and tend to become very isolated. If the parent can't go to church, that means the caregiver can't either. How can we reach out to these people who are following what God has told them to do in their families?
Marsha Washburn with me on the Generations broadcast. She referred to Christian Family Elder Care, a program that Generations has worked on for about 2 years now, including a conference just last year. And it is ChristianFamilyElderCare.org for those of you interested. And of course, I think every church, every family, certainly every homeschool family in America needs to be somewhat involved in crossing the boundaries to the elder generation and connecting with the older generation, whether it be in a elderly care facility. I know our church frequents two elder care facilities every single week, and we've had great reports from the operators of these facilities, indicating that our ministry has had a tremendous effect upon the people there, crossing those generations and serving the elderly. Very important part of life. This is the warp and the woof of the Christian life. And Jesus made a big point out of this in the parable of the sheep and the goats. Those who were the sheep were those who had visited the least of these when they were suffering. So we need to be doing this as part and parcel of the Christian life. This is just what we do as Christians, and Jesus Christ our Lord made that point in the Gospels. Just a chapter here in the book, Marcia, on home-based elder care, referring to Alzheimer's and dementia. Give us just a little bit of a clue as to how families deal with this and how you've dealt with this in the past.
You know, this was something, Kevin, that we hadn't anticipated at all. My mother-in-law had indeed cared for her husband, who had Alzheimer's, for a number of years at home until he became too disabled for her to lift when he fell and so forth. And then after he was put into a nursing home, she drove 30 miles round trip every day for the next 7 years until he passed away, to spend all day with him caring for his needs, even though he was in the home, as in the nursing home, still she was there for him and caring for him. It was a real testimony to the staff there for the lifelong love of a husband and wife for each other. So we learned a little bit about it, but we didn't really have direct care for my father-in-law. So when we brought Mom into our home, as I said, she did not think she needed to have care. She wanted to handle her own finances, even though she no longer knew how to sign her own name on a check. And it was difficult for her to make the adjustment because this was something totally new. She never anticipated not being able to live independently for the rest of her life. I think one of the things that really helped was to just put ourselves into her shoes as much as we possibly could. To realize, you know, to try to enter into what she would tell us if she were able to. About a year after she moved in with us, I wrote an essay, What My Caregivers Should Know About Me, and it starts off, I have not always been old, I have not always been sick, I have not always been dependent on others. This is a new and puzzling season of my life, and most of the time, I don't like it very much. It's hard for me to find my way through this season, just as it is hard for you. Pray for me. And then it goes on to say, you know, what we've learned is let her do what she's still able to do and to realize that she is doing the best she can with what she has left. Every dementia patient is different. Some of them are very easy to live with, as my mother-in-law is now. Once we got through the first battles of the first year or so, some of them are very difficult. You can't put a box around it and say this is always the case because each person and each situation are different, each household. And so you can't point a finger at how someone else is led to care for their elders. You need to allow them to hear from God and give them the support that that is needed regardless of what direction they take.
Well, as the Word of God tells us, the outward frame fails, the outward frame dies, but the inward is renewed day by day. And you refer to 2 Corinthians 5:16-18. If anyone's in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. That's something to remember about those who are believers who are still suffering from the loss of function, the loss of the ability to think, to remember. So it's just something to remember is that, yeah, we break down physically, but the spiritual is still there. And we also remind ourselves and each other that resurrection is soon to come. I've been reminding myself of that for the last 10 years, Marcia. My body's been breaking down pretty fast. So, you know, as I'm breaking down and I'm no longer the super guy I used to be, I remind myself again and again that that's what resurrection is all about.
Exactly. And as we think along those lines, heaven becomes all the more appealing to us, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're listening to way more Johnny Cash gospel songs on the heaven coming around and in the sweet by and by and, you know, crossing the banks of Jordan and so forth. So anyway, these are the important elements of life, and of course the Word of God speaks to these things, and we need to minister the Word of God to each other, even as our elderly parents and grandparents are slowly but surely making their way towards the banks of Jordan. Well, that pretty much wraps up this interview, although there's so much more to say on this issue. But for this reason, friends, you need to get a copy of Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers by Marsha Washburn, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Or you can always check out christianfamilyeldercare.org, or Marsha Washburn's website is marshawashburn.com, M-A-R-C-I-A Washburn, W-A-S-H-B-U-R-N.com. MarshaWashburn.com. So for more information, again, these websites, very helpful. I'd encourage you to avail yourself to them. Marsha, thanks so much for joining us today on the Generations broadcast.
Always a pleasure, Kevin. Thank you.
And you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. As once again, friends, we'd recommend the book Home-Based Elder Care for your family, for families in your church who are going through this right now. In fact, it'd make a wonderful gift for any family that is doing caregiving right now. I'd recommend you pick up a copy of this book as a gift, as a way to bless somebody who's going through the throes, the difficulties, the struggles of home-based elder care. And that's the book, Home-Based Elder Care, Stories and Strategies for Caregivers by Marsha Washburn, available at generations.org. That's generations.org on our website. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.